We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'll never call off. Fourth quarter pressure. Back of the jersey. Double sevens. No matter how many times, I never get tired of that reference. Hop Hall of Fame for dirt. We love you with a deep reverence.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Hi, I'm Kyrie Irving.
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
They waiting on my fall off. I'll never call off. Fourth quarter pressure. Back of the jersey. Double sevens. No matter how many times, I never get tired of that reference. Hall of Fame for dirt. We love you with a deep reverence. Backcourt nasty. I wonder who gon' check him. Cuban did his thing when he went and got number 11. I still got his picture on my wall at 707. Feel synonymous with Kyrie, how we both train with aggression. Competition obsolete, trying to breathe life into my dreams. I'm so tired of sleep, still got some work from last season that was incomplete. So hungry for redemption, thank my boys, that's my overeat. Like Luka with his three, if I'm hit, my mic is prone to overheat. I pride myself the most, I'm 22 and my folks proud of me. I took the hard way since I was 10. It was no surprise to me. A step back mask blowing up was no surprise to me. And I'm speaking honestly.
Seven.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. You can find me on Twitter at Dalton_Trigg. You can find the pod account at Step Back Mavs. Find all my written work at DallasBasketball.com. Be sure to lock in both on the pod and at DallasBasketball.com for this upcoming Mavs playoff run. The Dallas Mavericks, they finished 50-32. They're the 5 seed in the West. They take on the Clippers for the third time in 5 years in the playoffs. It's going to be a fun one. We still don't know, you know, about Kawhi Leonard's knee situation. He's officially listed as questionable, as I mentioned in the last pod, with knee inflammation. He's been having to get injections in that knee, so that's never good. Injections might work to kind of, you know, if he's going to fight through it. But still, if you're getting injections in your knee, I'm not sure that you're going to be, you know, 100% going into this playoff series against a fully healthy Mavs team. You know, Derek Lively's back. Josh Green came back right before the end of the regular season there for 2 games. So this team is healthy. This team is rested. And on the last pod, you know, I let y'all listen to Jason Kidd as he talked about the upcoming series and a lot of other things. And now on this one, I want you to listen to Kyrie Irving, who talked about several Mavericks. You know, it's their first time playing in the playoffs, and he talked about the kind of mentality that needs to be brought into the playoffs for those guys. He talked about the comparison, or what he takes from his, you know, partnership with LeBron in 2016 when Kyrie, LeBron James, and the Cleveland Cavaliers won a title against the crazy talented Golden State Warriors. And you know, he talks about, you know, how he and Luka, because that was the question, how the comparison, you know, from him and Luka to him and LeBron back in 2016. And Kyrie said that, you know, his quote, that comparisons are the thief of joy. And I agree with that. But he still goes on to talk about, you know, stuff he took away from his partnership with LeBron that helps him with, you know, the Luka partnership and some similarities there. And then finally, you know, they ask him about Team USA because Kyrie was snubbed. He wasn't on the roster for Team USA. And, you know, ironically enough, the final spot went to Kawhi Leonard of the Clippers, the team the Mavs are preparing to face in the first round of the playoffs, as if there wasn't enough motivation as is. You know, now we have the little storyline that Kawhi Leonard made that final Team USA roster spot over Kyrie Irving, who wanted to be there. You know, he wanted to be there playing with LeBron and all those other guys, but he was snubbed. So a little bit of extra motivation. He also talks about how, you know, there's kind of a lot of legacies on the line in this series with all the different star power and, you know, guys that have come up short in the postseason. So hope you guys enjoy it, and I will see you on the back end.
I heard Boston Garb was famous for doing
that. Yeah, oh, man, before they fixed the locker rooms? Yeah, I heard all the secrets that the Celtics used to do to opponents. Heard all of them. All right, let's get started.
Go ahead, guys. Kyrie, PJ talked about the other day, he talked about just you and some of the other veterans sharing your wisdom and knowledge for guys who are about to participate in their first playoffs. Just what was the message you were trying to get across?
I mean, just to have a great approach and a great mentality and be prepared for war, you know, metaphorically, right? Just, you know, it's the hardest, most difficult time to win ball games because, you know the other team well, you know their tendencies, their habits, and after game one, it's pretty much adjustments and just go into the internal kind of layer where you're just trying not to get too ahead of yourself. You're trying to take one game at a time, 1 minute at a time. So you just got to be balanced, stay focused, limit the distractions, and just do what you've been doing since you were a kid and have fun doing it. So our young guys will be prepared, but until they go through it, they won't have any idea what it's like. So I'm excited for them and to be alongside them, to lead them. You know, so I had that in my first playoff series when we were playing against the Celtics when I was 24. So my first game went pretty well. We won, and you know, I just look back at those moments to use them as examples for the young guys. So just, it's nothing to be nervous about. We've been playing basketball our whole lives. We ended the season really well, so we have confidence going into the playoffs, and just got to err on the side of that.
Do you get nervous anymore in big games?
Yeah, I get some nerves. Yeah, but I think I do my best to transmute it into a strength and just allow it to drive me instead of consume me. Because in the past, I've definitely been very anxious, very nervous for games, and it could get the best of me mentally.
How are you feeling Game 7 in 2016 heading into that shot?
Man, just right moment, right time, great move. Yeah, just one of those historical moments that I was poised and ready for. This is what me and my dad used to practice in the backyard pretty often. And that's what I really take my mind to in those moments in playoff series, just going one-on-one, imagining myself going against some of the greatest of all time. And I like the challenge for our first series going against, you know, four future Hall of Famers and getting a chance to see where we stack up. That's really exciting.
We've seen you hit shots like that this season. You think about the Nuggets game and that insane lefty. Yeah. What makes you successful in those clutch moments?
It's just the trust in the basketball gods, as they say. Really just trust in the preparation. And, you know, I think you guys have heard me say it throughout the season, just the hours that no one sees, you know, the 12:30 lifts at night, the 1 a.m. lifts, waking up early, stretching, just doing all the things necessary to make sure I'm taking care of myself mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and just going on about my day and letting basketball be a release and a creative expression and also a healthy challenge for me to raise the bar every single time I go out there.
Can you compare where this team is right now entering the playoffs to any of the other teams?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that you, and then just, is this team playing better going to the playoffs than you?
Nah, man. Comparisons is a thief of joy, especially when you're trying to compare teams because you play with so many different great players. But, you know, for me, it's my first 50-win season or 6 years, so I don't take that for granted. It took a long time to get here. I know what it feels like to fail for the past 6 years and not reach, you know, our team goals or individual goals. So I use that energy to get me prepared for what's coming and just let the controllables be controlled and then, you know, be prepared for kind of the unknown and just dig deep into that will that I have inside to lead some of these guys and also let them lead me because I'm going to need a lot of help in these series too.
You're going into your first postseason with Luka Doncic as your teammate. What does that mean to you and what have you guys talked about what this time means for you guys to be able to help lead this team?
It's exciting. I think we know what we're both capable of. I think you have seen it throughout this season where we really raise our level in big games going against some of the greatest players in our league. And we want to be challenged by the best. And I think that's the championship pedigree you need, the integrity you need of just welcoming all challengers and, you know, just letting basketball be basketball, man. And again, the most important thing is just limit distractions. Don't bring any of that extra stuff to the court. And, you know, at the end of that 48 minutes, then it's just one game, you know, it's the first of four, so we just got to take it one day at a time.
Along those lines, Jason the other day had an interesting take about your role and in legacy that if you played in a game with the four best players ever to set foot on the planet, after that game, they'd still be talking about something you did. So I'm wondering what kind of is that come naturally or what kind of flair? How do you get that sort of a flair?
I believe part of it is innate. It's in my DNA. I mean, my grandparents have played basketball. My dad played basketball. My mom played basketball. But I also grew up in the five boroughs of New York, you know, playing outside, playing indoor. And that's what I grew up around was that entertainment, you know, level of basketball, going out to the park and just trying different moves. And some of the greatest moves I've ever made, no one's ever seen, you know. So a lot of those habits have come over time of just learning how to have the entertainment. But the most important thing is leaving out of there with a win and doing it on both ends of the floor and maximizing on your potential. So if you can do it out one of those flashy moves, as they say, you know, that's what they called back in the day, flashing moves. We just call it, you know, a vibe, you know, just something that we do out here now, just get into the bag or get into a bucket. You know, you try to marry the balance of being able to practice those enough where it just becomes innate and it just looks normal. You know, I think if we watched me back in the 60s, I think I probably, I don't know what type of legacy I would have had, you know, if people would have saw me dribbling the way I was dribbling. But I think what I like to think back to is the guys who came before me who really set that standard and really tried to push the bounds of creative expression on the basketball court. It enables me to be who I am.
Do you feel like you've partnered well in your life, or have other people partnered well with you?
I think it's been both. I play with a lot of high level thinkers, a lot of high level players, and a lot of players that put pressure on themselves to succeed. That sometimes can help or hinder certain partnerships. So I've learned just how to be more mature in my approach to people's emotions, and I think I like to lean in on the side of connecting through our love of the game and our love of winning and our love of competing at a very high level. And you know, win, lose, or draw, I'm still gonna love you, and that matters. You know, when you say that to somebody, just go out and do your best, and no matter what, win, lose, or draw, we're good. We're brothers.
Kyrie, what have you guys gotten from a defensive standpoint this season from Derrick Jones?
Oh man, he's improved tremendously. He was already a great defender, but now that he has other guys alongside him that also love to play defense, no disrespect to any of his other teammates, you know, other teams, I just think he has guys behind him that really empower him to be liberated as a defender. You got to let guys like that roam. You got to let guys like that take healthy risk and just try to have his back as much as possible and also give him a break when he needs it. He goes extremely hard for us on the defensive end, so we try to reward him on the offensive end by giving him opportunities to be successful as well.
Kyrie, obviously Jason Kidd received some criticism last year. This year I think he's done a great job of helping turn things around. What have you thought about his performance with the Mavericks?
What do you mean criticism?
Last year, when you guys struggled a little bit, he received some criticism just from outside.
Oh yeah, I think every head coach is going to receive criticism. You know, he's one of the leaders of the team, and a lot of our wins and losses, he takes a lot of the responsibility, and I just commend him for that, and I love him for it. But us as players, we want to protect him, and we want to be successful for all of us because you know, all of our legacy is on the line at this point. I think if you look at some of the guys on our team, we've dealt with a lot of naysayers, a lot of critics, a lot of noise, just like other teams, but I think specifically with us. You know, somehow I was called a chaos agent for a little bit, and there was this narrative that I'm a locker room cancer, and all these things that ended up becoming just these run-of-show media pundits, and I didn't want to be the butt of anyone's joke, and I don't mind being the butt of anyone's jokes, but not at the expense or consequence of my teammates' success and our success as an organization. So I've just taken, you know, a lot of hits, learned how to hit back, learned how to protect myself, learned how to protect my brothers and my sisters, and keep the main thing the main thing.
Kyrie, going back to the partnership topic, you know, LeBron obviously, you know, go all the way in 2016. Mm-hmm. Are there, what if any similarities do you find in the tandem with Luka that give you belief you can do the same thing?
I mean, again, like comparisons to thief of joy, so I do my best to, you know, put those moments in my career as like chapters and, you know, something in the past. But what I can learn from that chapter, what I had with Bron, was we just had a fluidity of just where we were going to be on the court, and we knew where we wanted the ball, and there was a mutual respect there. And when it was his time to take over games, or it was my time to take over games, we allowed each other to do that. And also we had to have some, you know, kind of mother effer moments to each other where we challenged each other. And you know, you never saw us get in each other's faces as often or anything like that, but we did challenge ourselves, and thus us challenging each other, we were able to challenge everyone on the team to be better. So I think that's what enabled us to be successful in 2016. And I think me and Luka are doing the same thing here. When, you know, you have somebody that can be challenged, and I could look to Luka and be like, hey man, like, come on, turn this ish up a little bit. Or he'd be like, all right, come on, Kai, say it in his language. Or, you know, he'll say something to me. And you know, it even is a more of an encouraging, celebratory moment. Like, just getting somebody going on a positive note goes a long way. So I feel like that's a similarity of just keeping the positivity going. But when the going gets tough, you know, you have somebody that's in the foxhole with you that's ready to go and shoot all their ammo out until they're empty. You need people like that that's not afraid to empty their clips.
Team USA announced its basketball roster for the Olympics. I think a lot of us were surprised you weren't on it. Did you want to play on it, Kyrie?
Yeah, I would have loved to. But I think I wish my brothers well, and I just didn't fit into this team. And I think the deliberation process was a tough one. But again, I have nothing but respect for those guys over at USAB. You know, at this point in my career, I think my focus should be on winning the championship and, you know, in the summertime, just going to support those guys when I get a chance. But yeah, I grew up in a time too. I wanted to say this. I grew up in a time too where we actually had to try out for USAB, and we did meet up as a group and as peers, and there was a mutual respect that we earned from one another and trying out and then seeing what five meshed well. So I think obviously the timing's a little bit different. But yeah, I kind of miss those days of just being able to get everybody together, break bread, and then compete against one another. And then the deliberation process happens at the end of like the 4 days or 5 day process, even though people know who's going to be on the team. You know what I'm saying? So I just I miss that fun part of it, of just getting together. But I wish my brothers well.
Yeah. Just lastly, in terms of going into game one, you know, you said coming out of game one, you make adjustments mm-hmm. for the rest of the series. Do you use that game one as like a feel out game where you see what works and see what
doesn't? Yeah, I guess you can call it a feel out game. I think it's more or less a the beginning of a chess match. You know, you just trying to think three moves ahead, trying to see different things that your opponent's going to risk. What are they going to show? And I've been able to play on the T-Lou for a little bit, so I feel like I know him well enough at this point. He knows me well enough, but I'm at a different place in my life. He's at a different place in his life. I'm not the young kid, 24, that he can just, you know, probably put in these predicaments and throw the ball all around the place. So I kind of know what to expect, but also I'm intrigued to see what adjustments he's
going to make. All right, y'all. Again, that's Kyrie Irving. Had a lot of good stuff to say after practice today. He's locked in. I know the other guys are locked in. You know, everybody's healthy. It's looking good for the Mavs. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to make a prediction and say that they're 100% going to win the series. I do think they'll win in six games if they take care of business. But it could be, you know, depending on Kawhi's health, it could be a shorter series than that. So we'll just have to see. But again, please, if you haven't already, go hit that like button on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe on all your other favorite podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Leave us reviews. You know, if you like what you hear, if you want to leave us some kind words on our Apple Podcasts reviews or in the comments on our YouTube channel, please do. It really helps us out, and we greatly appreciate all of you. Another thing I wanted to say that I didn't mention on the first of this little three-part series when I posted the Jason Kidd presser is we're having a flash sale on all of our Mavs Step Back t-shirts at our Tee Public site. There's a flash sale for the next 7 days. We have a lot of really neat designs. The latest one is a Luka Kyrie kind of a parody cartoon with Luka and Kyrie illustrating the White Men Can't Jump movie poster. So I thought it was pretty cool. So be sure to go ahead and check that out. But guys, we appreciate it. Again, hit that subscribe button. We appreciate all of y'all for coming in and listening to us every single time we post one of these. You make it worthwhile, and we appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.